Welcome to the Birds of Alberta podcast. I'm Chris Fisher, co-author of the best-selling field guide, Birds of Alberta. Now, many years ago, following a set at the Jasper Folk Music Festival, I went over to chat to a folk musician by the name of Garnick Rogers, and it was in the beer gardens. And in that conversation, we discussed many of his musical references that involved birds, and I found out that he enjoyed birds very much, mostly due to his interaction with his feathered friends at his farm in rural Ontario. But then he went on to tell another fascinating story. And in this story, Garnet told me about how he and his brother Stan, the late great Canadian folk music icon Stan Rogers, well, when they were young men, they had the opportunity to play folk music across boom towns in rural Alberta, which didn't go quite so well. But during the day, they would find themselves driving from town to town through the Alberta landscape. And one such day, Garnet was in the passenger seat and Stan was driving. Garnet was reading a book, kind of minding his own business, and every now and then he would feel the tour van slowing down abruptly. One such occasion, he looked over, saw his brother Stan, who was driving, and Stan was looking up over the wheel through the windshield to the sky. And the reason Stan was slowing down was because he kept spotting hawks and enjoying hawks. And watching hawks is a special Alberta moment that not only Stan and Garnet enjoyed, but anyone who has driven on our highways have enjoyed as well. And while we're fortunate to have many species of hawks that contribute to these moments, there's really one of our birds of Alberta that contribute to more of these moments than any other, and that's our red-tailed hawk. The red-tailed hawk is really the Alberta hawk. It's a jack-of-all-trades, middle-of-the-road hawk. Anyone who has driven Alberta roadsides have encountered them. In fact, if you were to take the most famous of our roads, the QE2, traveling north of Calgary, just outside Airdrie, you'll notice that the hawks run about 80% to 20% in favor of Swainson's hawks over red-tailed hawks. By the time you pull into Gasoline Alley in Red Deer, it's about 50-50. And by the time you reach Leduc, well, it's about 80% red-tails and 20% Swainson's. And while red-tailed hawks can live just about anywhere in this province, they do tend to stay out of our major urban centers. And that's not the case everywhere. In fact, red-tailed hawks are quite famous in New York City. They have like 20 nesting pairs in Manhattan, but we really have none in our downtown cores. The difference may very well be due to the abundance of rats, quite frankly, in Central Park. So I suppose if we really want to have more downtown red-tails, we'd really probably need more downtown rats. So in Alberta, at least, red-tails seem happier in rural environments where they seem to nest in every mid-sized clump of trees in the central part in Alberta, but also they are found wherever you find little clumps of trees in the extreme south and southeast, right up through the boreal forest, where they'll find nesting habitat wherever there's semi-open areas. But really where they're most abundant is what I'd refer to the middle of the province, which is pretty appropriate for our middle-of-the-road all-purpose hawk. So really this is the hawk that most of you have already seen before. Even if you haven't been able to identify it, if you get a good look at them, they'll look pretty stern, even little pissy in their expression. They look a little bit like an unmade bed. Their chest is often a little bit paler with a slightly darker belly band. And if you have a look at their back, which you often do get a look at, you'll notice that there's light splotches on the brown. And certainly their most famous feature is their brick red tail, which stands out wonderfully in nice sunlight. But not all individuals have this brick red tail. It's really only achieved by the time they get to their adult years, which is about year number 2. So there's still plenty of birds out there that are red-tailed hawks, but they lack the red tail. It's probably in flight where you do get the best look at that red tail as the sun shines through it and lights it up quite nicely. You'll notice that their wingtips are nicely rounded as well with those primary feathers, those big long feathers that look like fingers almost projecting quite well. And if you were to look at the profile of their wings and their body, it's pretty flat comparing it to some of the other prairie raptors that we have in the province. Almost equally famous as the bird themselves are their quite large stick nests that we see certainly all winter long, or whenever our deciduous trees don't have leaves on them. Those stick nests, those large stick nests, stand out quite a bit, particularly as they're constructed, not in the most dense of our deciduous or aspen or poplar forest, but usually in the edge of the tree line, 10 to 20 meters. So they always have an exit strategy to open country not far from where they nest. So the nests are particularly well made. They're made by both the pair, and the pairs will reoccupy the nests year after year, provided that there isn't a great horned owl that has moved in previous. And the pairs are monogamous. They stay together year after year after year, helping not only to build the diagnostic nests, but to help feed the rapidly growing chicks that will eventually fled and continue to populate the regions. So really, it's a well-liked bird. Certainly rural landowners seem to enjoy them, and hawks in general, raptors in general, are really an entry point for so many people who develop an interest in bird life. But that wasn't always the case. Only 100 years ago or so, red-tailed hawks and many other hawks, but red-tails in particular, were known as chicken hawks for their habit, I suppose, of predating livestock. And at that point, they were not nearly as revered as they are today. So last century was not great for red-tailed hawks. They're often persecuted and, quite frankly, shot. And also one of the reasons that red-tailed hawks and all raptors are not protected under the Canadian, well, the Joint Canadian and American Migratory Bird Convention Act, is that they were considered pests when the origins of that act were passed. And by convention, it just continues on so that red-tailed hawks are protected nowadays, but that is by provincial legislation and not the overarching federal legislation that protects the vast majority of our migratory birds. So I suppose the classic way of spotting these soaring raptors is on the wing. They are exceptional at teasing lift from updrafts and thermals, and we see them commonly throughout central Alberta during the heat of the summer, soaring in high-rise circles, going higher and higher and higher. That's the classic way of spotting them, particularly when they're soaring over their nesting territories. But we also see them soaring during their migratory times as well, in particular along geographic landforms like river valleys, escarpments, even around the outside of lakes or larger lakes, for they don't like having to power their way by flapping across the lake. Rather, they get a free lift by using the updrafts and the escarpments that surround these features. I've spent quite a bit of time in the boreal forest, working along large cut lines or pipelines that are really the only open areas through many of these densely forested areas. And these open areas actually serve as skyways, highways, in a sense, for red-tailed hawks, particularly when they need a break. They just serve as an excellent area to perch and to look over into familiar open country, which they favor more than enclosed forested areas. And while we'd like to believe that while those red-tailed hawks are high above us soaring, that they've got their eyes peeled for potential prey, which is sometimes true, the truth of the matter is they do most of their hunting from perches. This is when we see them along the roadsides, on utility poles, or even on short barbed wire fence posts, staring into the ditches and into pastures and fields, looking for any of the slightest movement that would betray the presence of a field mouse, a vole, or even something as large as a Richardson ground squirrel, which are their common prey during the summertime here in Alberta. And for many people who are interested in birds and wildlife in general, in this province, they often carry along a camera with a decent-sized lens, and it is at these opportunities when we see these roadside hawks that we slow down and want to capture a picture of these majestic birds. And while this is quite easy oftentimes with some of our other common hawk species, like the Swainson's hawk, just try it with a red tail, because they sense that you're slowing down, they see you coming, and they always fly off before you come to a complete halt. You see, red-tailed hawks are just on a little bit more edge than most of the birds that we have in Alberta, and it's never more apparent when you're walking through the woods or walking through your pasture and you get screamed at by an overhead red-tailed hawk long before you can even spot the nest, which is always present. A red-tailed hawk, usually the male, will come out to ward off an intruder, and they do it with that harsh, diagnostic, classic scream, which is really maybe the most badass voice of any Alberta bird. Well, as anyone can attest who has walked through pasture lands and farmlands in rural Alberta, that overhead scream's a pretty common occurrence, and it's happened to me numerous times, mostly associated with work activities. You see, there is a 100-meter setback that's established by provincial government regulations from active red-tailed hawk nests to any type of industrial activity. So that does a pretty good job of protecting active red-tailed hawk nests from disturbance or potential damage. But I can tell you for certain that that overhead alarm call is raised much before that 100-meter setback is ever broached. And while red-tailed hawks are known province-wide and throughout their range as mobbing intruders, it actually turns on its head quite often too. Like, how many of us have seen red-tailed hawks being mobbed, harassed by smaller birds, typically red-winged blackbirds and the tenacious eastern kingbird? They've got a great reputation at going after any red-tailed hawk that dares to fly above their territory. So in terms of behavior and familiarity, you really can't beat the red-tailed hawk as a classic Alberta species. And you might think that because of this familiarity with them, that they're kind of our everyday, everywhere hawk, and they don't necessarily deserve a second look. Well, if you feel that way, you would be wrong. You see, you know, 98% of them might kind of look the same, but leave it to that 2% that are left over to be very fascinating and interesting indeed. Alberta's still a pretty rural place, so many of us have spent quite a bit of time on farms in our youth. And a buddy of mine, Mike Borlay, certainly did, spending a lot of time on the family farm not far from Morinville in central Alberta. And as a promising young naturalist, he started noticing, well, conspicuous birds, and very few birds are as conspicuous as red-tailed hawks. So unlike many Albertans, he developed an interest and an affection, quite frankly, to his local red-tailed hawks. But unlike many people, he took it to a whole new level, blending his tremendous observational skills and his curiosity into an in-depth study of one of the most common birds throughout North America. You see, Mike and a few others founded a thriving Facebook group, first based on some of the birds found in Alberta and then Western Canada, now Canada-wide, and quite frankly, even in the United States, kind of tracking the 16 different subspecies of red-tailed hawks that are found throughout its range. And what we find is here in Alberta, not only do we have a variety of these subspecies that nest in the province, but we have a whole bunch more that migrate, particularly those that nest to the northwest of us, passing through the migratory corridor in Alberta and then heading off to overwinter in the central part of the United States. And it's a major contribution of this group that's known as Red-Tailed Hawks of Canada. And by visiting that site, you shortly see the tremendous variety and diversity within the subspecies of the species red-tailed hawk that are found not only in Alberta, but certainly throughout Canada. In Alberta, we tend to have the majority of the birds being represented by the eastern subspecies, which is what I described earlier, that light-chested with the belly band. There's an even lighter bird that is found in the northern areas, the boreal subspecies. Slightly darker birds tend to be found to the west, particularly in British Columbia. And then the amazing Harlan's hawk, which is a subspecies found typically to the northwest of Alberta. And that can come in both dark and light forms. Its tail is a little bit confusing. And it was really that subspecies that triggered Mike, because on his farm, not far from Mornville, he discovered that there's been a pair nesting in that clump of trees on the back 40 that is a nice blend of the eastern and the Harlan's. So it was really that pair that triggered this incredible exercise of citizen science. Red-tailed hawks are really our all Alberta raptor. You know, from a casual glimpse out the farmhouse window to watching them soar over a highway to delving into an intense research project to seeing dozens of them circling above combines in the fall, hoping that the farm equipment scares up some mice and voles from their hiding place. They are a hawk for everyone and everywhere. In short, red-tailed hawks are omnipresent in our province and in the lives, and as such, they kind of express the soul of Alberta, just a wee bit more than maybe even we'd like to think, as beneath that badass veneer of talons and terror, and there's actually a bit of tenderness and resilience. They may not be the fanciest of our birds, but they are among our most proficient, And if we can find inspiration in any of the birds of Alberta, well, one of the first places to look would be to the red-tailed hawk and to look skywards and find from them a meaning and a reason to scream or to soar.